Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Post, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I got a teaching today that I want to do. This is a long time coming, but I want to cover it today. It's going to be called Biblical Parents versus Fleshly Parents. And this one's going to be a little bit different today. While Sister Amen is always there listening to my teachings, I'm going to include her today. And at the end, we're going to have a discussion on another separate audio. Are you with me today, Sister Amen?
I am. Praise God for His truth.
Amen, amen. So Sister Amen's here. This teaching is going to kind of be a husband and wife teaching. And again, we'll make an audio, a separate audio. We'll have a little bit of discussion because it entails children. We both raise children, both in a secular world. We've had grandchildren as believers. So let's get right at this topic. Biblical parents versus fleshly parents. We've been pondering this topic for quite a while, and I believe this teaching, Sister Amen said this to me the other day, this is probably going to be one of our most beneficial teachings from a practical standpoint. Obviously, the gospel and such is for eternity. This has eternity to it, too. But also, it's going to be one of our most hated, teachings, probably. Why? It involves killing the flesh and children. Ouch. That one's going to be a big one. So the truth of this teaching is going to cut directly across what most believing parents, and this is aimed at blood-bought, born-again saints. This is not aimed at worldly people. This is not aimed at the worldly churchianity people. This is at people that are blood-bought saints, come out of the world, they come out of church, they're holy, they're obedient. Check out the gospel at DontParish.com. This is going to cut right across what most parents believe, have been taught, how they were raised. But I'm going to back it up with scripture and spiritual wisdom. So let's get to a famous verse before we start out with many verses. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is a side note. I think I'm going to do a whole separate teaching on this. This verse is not guaranteeing you parents that your children, because you teach them the Bible and God when they're little, that they're going to biblically come to know God and never lose their souls. That's not what it's teaching. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, few, a puny number, are going to find eternal life. This verse is a promise, when we read the rest of God's word, that his elect, the ones that are known by him and will be in eternity, they're going to continue on. They're going to use what they learned as youth, and they're going to be in heaven one day. This isn't a guarantee that every child you train is going to be in eternity. So that's just a note I wanted to make there. I'll do a separate teaching on that sometime. But what we do know, I want to start out with, is children are a blessing, and we're all to come to God as children. Luke 18:16. But Jesus called unto him, and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. So this will be easy for me to be labeled in this teaching as a child abuser, mean to children, treating them something less than human. None of that's true. My enemies are going to do it. I really don't care. I love children. I raised my children. I have grandchildren. I love them. But it has to be in the Lord, not in the flesh. I raised mine as a single dad, but I did have obedient children. I wasn't in the Lord then, but I did have obedient, not bratty children. And so I know a little bit about raising up children. I think I know a little bit about God's word. Sister Amen also has raised children, and we're both have been godly, biblical grandparents. So I think we can speak to this topic. I think this topic is a vital one. It is often overlooked or taught totally incorrectly in our heretical, feminized, fleshly, secular culture of the day. So I want to cover that and make sure that we understand that this is not taught rightly by hardly anyone, because there's hardly any true biblical blood-bought saints. So what I want to tell everybody listening here, our contention, children are to be raised up to be like little adults as soon as they can understand and communicate well. I get it. Newborns, they're in diapers. They just know barely nothing. I get that. We're not talking about newborns. We're not talking about corporal punishment of newborns, stern discipline of newborns. Although you can set patterns and training for them too, but that's a whole separate topic. We're talking about, and Sister Amen, when we get to the discussion audio, can correct me or not. She knows more of the mothering. I'm thinking about 6 months or so. I see children start tooling mom, knowing when to go, and mom runs and picks them up. This is when training can start. Not so much physical punishment, but maybe stern warnings, a slap on the hand, things like that. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Crying for no reason, they start doing that early. So we can start that training early. And they're to be taught, trained, controlled, ruled, disciplined, given no occasion for their flesh to rule them whatsoever. That's the stance we're taking. That's what God's word teaches, and that's what we're going to go with. So we're going to prove it as we go through scripture here. Now, I want to make a note here. The Amish faith. While we totally disagree with the Amish faith in so many ways, I want to use them as an example of how children can be. Children can be trained from a very young age to obey their parents, fear their parents, sit quietly and orderly. In the many, many years we've dealt with Anabaptists, we have never, ever, ever seen Amish children that are unruly. From like 6 months age up, I've never seen one unruly. They whoop on them, they teach them, they control them, they order them. They're godly children in that sense. I know their theology can be wrong, but I want to give them credit when it comes to children. Why do I say this? It proves it can be done. And what I want to say is I grew up as a pagan with lots of dogs. I raised and trained lots of dogs. I trained horses. Dogs and horses can be well trained. Children made in the image of God are far smarter than dogs and horses. They should obey their parents, and their parents should rule them better than people rule dogs and horses. So keep that in mind as well. Children are far above animals. They should be able to be trained far above that. So the training is to be, the goal is to train them up to be like an adult, not to keep them as children. And I want to use this example. So you might have a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, whatever. I'm 60, 61. I don't crawl on tables. I don't throw fleshly fits whenever I want. I don't fidget around in my chair all over the place in a restaurant acting foolish. No godly home with children should have that either. Train them to be adults. I get it. They don't have the control. You got to whip them into shape. Train them, teach them, counsel them. Yes. Beat them. I'm going to give you scriptures that prove that, not physical child abuse, but stern corporal punishment to teach them. Raising them up to act like adults is the goal, so that you have no allowance for childlike behavior. Shouldn't be made. Childlike behavior is fleshly, bratty, impulsive, out of control. You want adult-like behavior where they learn to model after adults. Scripture backs us up. Titus 2, verses 4, 6, and 7. That they may teach the young women to be sober, that means in control, to love their husbands, to love their children. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works, in showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. I have a question. If you want your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old to be like that, shouldn't you start them when they're 2, 3, and 4? Absolutely, you should. That's where you need to start them. So, let's go to some facts for godly parents that's going to start stirring up this article, this teaching, and people aren't going to like it. Number one, these children are not yours. They're God's. Stop feeling like they're yours. They're not. They're on loan to you from God. He's going to take them back one day. You are to train them up in His ways, not your fleshly ways, not your heartfelt ways. I think moms are a little worse at this. They want to coddle them. They want to baby them longer. Yeah, some dads do that. They're not yours. Get them going in the ways of God, not in the flesh. Ready? They aren't here for your flesh. They aren't a toy. They aren't here for you to play with. They're here for you to train up to become godly young saints one day, if they will repent and follow Christ. You don't play with them in the flesh. You train them up in godly biblical teachings, eventually onto spirit and truth. You're to be a good steward of these small children. Raise them up to be hopefully future godly saints. Not look at them as possessions, toys, objects of fun or flesh. Just clear. They aren't your spiritual family. They're fleshly family. Your spiritual family is blood-bought saints that have already submitted, repented, and are born again, baptized. Your children are fleshly family until they one day choose the Lord and go down in the water of baptism. Remember that. You're not going to spend eternity with your children. You're going to spend eternity with brothers and sisters in the Lord. You hope your children are that one day. We're going to talk about that. There's a good chance they won't be. Most of them, I'm talking about right here, most of them will not serve God as adults. They may be your enemy one day. I only say that so you can be on guard. You don't live with that every day, but you have that in the back of your mind. They may be your enemies. I'm going to give you scripture verses from Jesus Christ to prove that coming up. Ready? This is a big one. They should fear you as they fear God. Other than the Amish, I don't see children fearing any parents. And they need to. And we do know some parents that are working to train their children up in the admonition of the Lord. We'll talk about that in a little while. You should be far more interested in training, teaching, disciplining, punishing them when you have to, than you are hugging, cuddling, playing, and giving fleshly attention to them. This is hard, but this is what Scripture shows. I'm going to prove it to you. These are truths that you must get through in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, we can't please God. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God in your fleshly parenting. Your children aren't going to please God when they're in their flesh. Cold, hard truth, but it is the truth. I'm telling you because I love you all. My parenting days are done, but I think I can pass down some wisdom from God's word and my experiences. What to do right, what to not do, like what I did wrong. All right, some more facts. We're on the road now, and we have saints with us. Here's a fact. Sister and I hug the saints with us once or twice a day. We might hug them in the morning when we see them. Hello, brother, good to see you. Might hug them at the end of the night and say, brother, see you tomorrow. All right? But many times a day, we're giving them God's truth, instruction, edification, training, encouragement, rebuking when needed, correction, fellowship and witnessing, being together, and things like that. Spiritual things, not a lot of fleshly things. I want you to imagine this, saints, parents, if you're listening. Can you imagine, saints, if we treated each other like most people allow their children to be treated? We'd be hugging each other 30 times a day. We'd be sitting around playing. We'd be in the flesh a lot. And we wouldn't be giving much spiritual offering to each other like God instructs us to. What would we be like? 1 Corinthians 14:26 tells us what to be like. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. We would be fleshly if we treated our fellowship like most parents treat their children. We wouldn't be spiritual. We wouldn't be giving correction and discipline. We'd be like the culture and the corrupt man-made churchianity around us. They're all into hugs and coffee and cookie and pizza, but not much in spiritual instruction, holiness, and obedience, and correction, putting people out when they need to. And I just want to say this. This is a hard thing for me to bring because I know it will make me even more enemies against people. But you know what? I really don't care. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. I'm going to help the people that are seeking truth. All you people that want to make this an item of more strife against me, you want to be an enemy, you want to lie, you want to call me mean-spirited, bring me God's word. I'm going to bring you God's word. I really don't care what your opinion is about parenting. God's word is very clear on this. And I want to speak the truth in love, and I want to be like Apostle Paul. He said, I have not withheld the full counsel of God's word from you. And that's what I'm going to do here today. God's ways are better for us in eternity than our fleshly ways here on earth. Remember that. So all this stuff is hard, but I'm going to ask you to face it. Face the facts. We should love children a little bit in physical love. Care and nurturing, I get it. Changing diapers, feeding them, keeping them safe and warm. I get it. I did that. But it mostly should be training to get the flesh out of them. Training in God's ways. Training in order. Fully obeying. Fearing your authority. So here it is. Ready? One day, when they're old enough, you can hand them off to God. They obey their parents. They're ready to fully obey God. They don't respect and obey you. They're not going to fully respect and obey God. I'm going to say something here that maybe I may be called a heretic for. I don't care. I believe it. Prove me wrong in Scripture. Parents, you are like the small g God, ruler over your children till they're on their own. Jesus talked about they are like gods, small g. That's like rulers, authority, governors. You are the governor of your children. Otherwise, they would be playing with razor blades, eating candy all day, running in traffic chasing puppies. You rule over them for their own well-being physically and eventually their spiritual well-being. Scripture is going to back this all up. Now, I'm going to take a little time here to go into a little bit in depth on why I'm doing this topic now. Haven't done one all these years. I haven't been a parent. I'm not even that active of a grandparent. Why? Most of our grandchildren were taken from us over the faith. So I don't spend a lot of time with children, but I want to give you 5 points why Sister and I are doing this teaching. Number one, we have a lot of secular and biblical Christian experience being around and training children. When we did, there was a time when we did have our grandchildren around us a lot as believers. Number two, as grandparents, we've been on both sides of this topic. So I think we can add some older person insight and wisdom to young parents coming up that have no good influence in that area. We've seen the devastation when so-called godly parents don't rule their children, and as they grow up, the children go into the world and fleshly false ways, and it leads often the entire house is shipwrecked. We've seen parents go into worldliness, carnality, and sin following their children because they won't rein their children in. They're more interested in being friends with their children than their children fearing them in the Lord. We'll talk about that more. Number four, most Christian parents, we're talking to Bible-believing Christians here, like the fallen world and churchianity, they aim to be more friends and friendly with their children than ruling them with order, training, authority, power over them. They want to be more friends. They want their children to like them. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. And number five, and we're going to get to a bunch of scripture here. Number five, we're now traveling with a young couple full time for the next 6 months who have small children, and discussions of children and child raising has come up a lot. And I just want to say this to their credit. We're traveling with a young couple that want to raise their children godly, want to rule over their children, want to be corrected and instruct them. So it's really a blessing. And I think our experience with their experience is going to help other people as they listen in and watch what is going on. And my brother's going to be doing a lot of teaching on his website, and I'll give you that at the end of this teaching, because he has the children. He's going to be doing the homeschooling thing. He's going to be doing more of the discipline. But Sister Amma and I certainly have access into their life, and they want us to speak into their life to help them. So that's a blessing. They want to be the best witness they can. So this teaching isn't necessarily aimed at them. It's aimed at everyone with children so that they can be helped in glorifying God. Our concern as we do this is most homes are ruled by children and women that have a soft hand, fleshly hand, versus dads that want to be feared and mom backed them up with authority. Yep, it's more flesh, more feminization. Ready? Isaiah 3, verses 4, 5, and 12. And I will give children to their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Real quick, was witnessing to a Baptist man not long ago. I wanted to talk more truth with him. He said, I'd love to talk more about God. I gotta go. My wife just called me. My kids are at basketball practice. I gotta pick them up. His wife, his children, were ruling over him, talking about the things of God. That's just a small example. Many parents, brother and I were talking about this, make children their idols. Considering your children's feelings and wanting to be friends with them over God's holy word and instruction, that's favoring children over God's truth. That's idolatry. And that's flesh. You got to get rid of that, parents. God's word is clear, but I want to say this. There isn't hundreds of scriptures about children raising in the Bible. There isn't. In fact, a lot of the main points I'm going to make here are just teaching points that are using some scripture, but a lot of wisdom and the concepts we see rooted through God's word. But there's not a lot of like hard, fast scriptures here, but there is a lot of truth we can glean from it, and I'm going to show that to you. I want to teach in this teaching a proper balance of flesh. Yes, affection and love. There's emotion involved. I get it. Versus training, ruling, discipline, order, corporal punishment, correction that must be upheld, or you don't obey God, and they're not going to obey God. It's as clear as that. And Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him, Hebrews 5:9. So Scripture is our guide, and if we don't follow it and do far more training and discipline and beatings, we'll get to that, than fleshly love, you're not following the Scriptures. All right? You're just not. Now, I want to make another disclaimer for all my enemies. Of course, it's okay to hug your child, show physical affection at times, but I'm going to offer to you the amount you do it and when you do it, and do it in a biblical way versus the unbiblical way, as many do, takes them far off the track of biblical parenting that we have observed. Good example, some people punish their children and then coddle them right afterwards. Some people go to punish their children and they go, and they don't punish them like they should. Many, many false ways, and we're going to talk about that a little bit with order. So we'll get into all that as we go. So let's look up some scriptures about children and raising them. And if we take the modern idea that children should be focused on, fleshly loved on all the time, indulged, get all kinds of attention, allowed to do their own will, and able to get their way in their flesh easily by crying, by whimpering, by fidgeting, by doing what they want, I'm going to tell you right now, and Sister Amin agrees with me because we've gone over this, you're against God's will, you're against Bible truth for your children, and you're not doing what God ordered you to do. You're doing His way, you're doing your way, not His way. You need to get over that, parents. The Bible is going to teach you how to train up your children. So the Bible tells us much about husbands. I want to talk about this. The Bible tells us a lot about husbands and wives loving on each other as adults. Yeah, we're physically supposed to love each other. Number one, husband and wives, it's a sexual bond. Number two, it's a lifelong physical bond, and we're adults. But you have children. They're not in that category. It's not supposed to be so much physical. It's supposed to be training, admonishment in the ways of the Lord. Why? You get them for 18 years and they're gone. They're adults. They need to be trained while they're little. Husband and wife bond, totally different than the parent and child bond. And the Bible teaches all about that. So we're going to go on and we're going to prove these fleshly mindsets are all wrong. We're going to prove it in Scripture. To help you see that, I am now going to list for you all the scriptures that tell you to flood your children with physical love, affection, indulgence, play, fleshly things, and undue attention, on and on. There isn't any. I couldn't find one. There's not one verse that ever tells you to raise your children in a fleshly way. Why are most people doing it? Why are most, even biblical parents, why are they most of them doing it today? They're in their flesh. That's why. Parenting is being done in the flesh. This is why you have so many ungodly children. Just today, I have to tell a quick story. I think God set this up for me. Today I knew I was going to do this teaching. I'm in Walmart. This man about 40 years old is pushing a cart. I hear screaming. I look. He's pushing a cart with a 5-year-old child in it. I thought they were playing at first. The 5-year-old child is going, with his arms up in the air. And Dad, I thought was playing with him, was doing the same thing back to him. Every time the kid did that, Dad was throwing his arms up going, The kid was literally crying. The father was mimicking the child's foolish behavior. And it stuck to me like glue. And I said, thank you, Father. You're teaching me. I got to be stern in this teaching. Now, I know that guy's not a godly saint, but all the more, still a child that needs to be raised up. So that was, I saw just today, I thought that was interesting. So there are no verses that tell you to raise your children fleshly, right? Now, there are verses that say, love your children. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, that's a different love, and to love their children. And this one, 1 Thess 2:7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. In context, we see how we're to love and cherish children, not in the flesh, but by control, order, discipline, spiritual training, harsh correction, yes, beatings. I keep saying it. You're going to see it right in Scripture. The modern day idea of fleshly, spoiled, feminized, psychology, mind science, yeah, Satanized culture that teaches children can rule over, be overindulged, be fleshly, act like children. It's fleshly parenting. It's not biblical parenting. Go look. You're not going to find any scripture verses that are teaching you to train your children if you're fleshly and carnal in it. You're not. Parenting, bad parenting, this fleshly parenting destroys God's plan. And what does it raise up? Fleshly children that stay like children into childhood, and it's sinful against God. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Guess what? You can help your sons become men. You can help your daughters become little women quicker. They don't need to be little, spoiled, rotten children until they're 21 or 25. We've seen Amish children at 9 years old running a cash register and doing math and adding up by hand that I can't even do. I'm terrible at math. Standing there acting sober, running a cash register. Don't tell me you can't train your children to be adult-like at young ages. You can, and I have proof of it. So if we aren't to indulge them in hugs and kisses and getting their way all the time and enjoying them like toys, treating them like they're our own possession in the flesh, how are we supposed to treat them? Again, I get it. You can hug them some. They should get far more discipline and training, just like us saints. We hug each other a couple times a day, and then every day we're getting tons of spiritual teaching and enlightenment. We don't sit and play. We don't run and act goofy. We're not doing fleshly things all day long. Your children should be taught that way. All right, so moving on to God's Word, what does it tell us? Well, I'm a firm believer in limited fleshly ways at home, the fleshly attention, love, hugs, all that, but discipline, order, training, swift, corporal, physical punishment when it's needed, especially at the very young ages, when they can understand it, we're not beating infants here, to correctly form them so when they grow up. Teach, train, and punish them with fear now. When they're 3 and 4, you won't have to worry about it. By the time they're 8 or 13, they're going to get it right. I promise you. I promise you. And God's Word backs me up in all this, saints, parents, on losing the fleshly emotion and using physical training and beating. You ready? Proverbs 23:13-17. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, this is God's holy word here, he shall not die. Let's stop right there. We don't believe in abusing them. We don't believe in beating them in the head, beating them in vital organs, beating them to where they bleed. That's not what this is about. And I'll talk a little bit about what I think, my opinion, you have liberty here, on what is good correction, corporal correction practices. But it's talking about if you beat them, they will not die. We're not talking about child abuse here. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Wow. You want to train your child up to not go to hell? Beat him when he's little is what the Bible says. Beat the will out of him. 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You teach a 3-year-old to fear mom and dad now. When he's old enough to understand God, he will fear God then. That's a fact. Not many teach this or live by it, but it is a fact. Now, let me just quickly say, I won't spend a lot of time on this. Brothers close to me, we do a lot more of this. A good device, I believe, is a wooden rod. First, on the hand, a good crack across the knuckles. Ain't going to kill anybody. Then on the bare bottom that causes real pain and discomfort. Yep, that is swift. It doesn't induce their life, doesn't threaten their life. It doesn't draw blood. It doesn't even leave marks. Okay, we're not talking 15, 20 beatings. We're talking one or two good smacks on the butt or one on the knuckles. Okay, parents, dads, use your discretion. If you're a big guy with power, you're not trying to break bones and skin here. Be careful, all right? We're not abusing children. We're correcting them. That's all I'm going to say with that. My brothers that are close to me, we work with that. We can talk about that more. But it should be a feared device. Ready? If your children play with the weapon you use, not the weapon, bad word, play with the tool you use to discipline them, they don't fear it. Think about that. If they're sitting there playing with the tool, you bring punishment with them, they don't fear it. And we'll talk about children and fear more as we go. Biblical love and discipline for a child is clear in God's word. We just talked about the beating, right? Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Is this not the eternal word of God here, folks? It is. But he that loveth him chasteneth him with betimes. Beatings? Betimes? B-E-T-I-M-E-S. I don't even know how to say that word. I guess I'll have to look that word up. Sister Amon, maybe you can look that word up for me. All right, so we looked it up. That word, B-E-T-I-M-E-S, I don't know how I pronounce it. That's just a weird word to us in English. It means promptly. You chasten him, discipline him promptly. That means when they are disobedient, quickly. You don't compromise with them. You don't talk softly and gentle with them. You can't reason with a three-year-old. A three-year-old's either going to obey the rule or not. And when they don't obey the rule, they need a quick, prompt punishment. And here's what I want to say. Dads, you're the leader of the home. You're the ruler of the home. The culture says, used to say, king of the castle, right? You should lead and guide correctly with mom backing you up. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what Proverbs is talking about, okay? That's what you want to do. You not want to provoke them to wrath. You want to do it correctly, but clearly you can't go easy on them or you're going to have spoiled children that aren't fit for the kingdom of God or ready to receive the gospel. How about this? Even Torah, the Torah law, echoes training for children. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. But these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rise up. Instead of playing with your children with, you know, okay, I get it, trucks and stuff, you can play once in a while, little jigsaw puzzles, stuff like that, I get it, that's okay. You should be, when they're old enough to listen, talking God's truth, talking scripture, talking about reverence for God, talking about God's ways. You should be filling them up with God, not play. Play a little, a lot of God, okay? Play a little, a lot of God is what I'm going to say. You should also do this and teach them till they learn to do it themselves. Ready? Proverbs 6:20-21. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Hey, mothers have law. Look at that. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them around your neck. I'm sure mom's teaching the law of God there. So this is what we're supposed to be teaching our children. Their focus is not foolish child play and flesh. Their focus is mom and dad teaching them God. This is what it's got to be all about. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's what you're filling them up with. God's word, God's ways, God's instruction, fear of God. Before you get to that, before they understand God, they got to fear you and mom. They understand you and mom. They understand rules in the house. They got to fear you and the rules in the house. So parents have to punish and be consistent even when children cry and pull at your heartstrings. They did something wrong. They know what was wrong. All of a sudden they see it coming. Then they go, look at him. He feels bad. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what that also means? When you're beating his butt, don't stop because he whimpers and cries. Finish what you set to do. Otherwise, he knows, hey, I got my mom and dad controlled by the flesh. You don't want to live in the flesh. You want to teach them not to live in the flesh. I have a question. This can be a good question for you parents. When does God, do you think God loves us? He does. He loved us in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. When does God love us with physical hugs and playtime? Does he ever do that? Nope. He loves us with his truth, with order, with teaching, with guidance, with training, with chastisement and discipline, not flesh. How do you want to love and train your children? Ask yourself that. Hebrews 12:5-11. Here's a chunk of scripture for you. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you unto children, my son? Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou hast rebuke of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hey, Jesus got scourging for us. He scourgeth his son. If ye endure chastising, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasten not? But if ye be without chastisement, where all are partakers, ye are bastards and not sons. Hey, there's a word you don't hear a lot. I'll use it. It's a biblical word. You want your children to be like bastards? What's that? Children without loving parents to discipline and beat them into authority under God. Not physically harming them. Beat their will into submission. You want them to be little bastards? Or do you want them to be godly children under godly parents? Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have given them reverence, leaders in the body. Shall not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Yeah. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I get it. It's no fun beating your children on the butt or on the hand. You got to do it, parents. Otherwise, you're going to have brats. Your house isn't going to be in order. And you know what? As somebody that likes to help the body keep in line, I don't like having to bring correction. I don't like having to bring instruction. It would be really easy for me to overlook everyone's error, sin, novice ways. Our body would look like churchianity if I do that. So I'm always having to correct, instruct, guide, give suggestions, advice, rebuking, correction, even putting out. Why? Because God tells me to. Because it proves I love them in the spirit, not in their flesh. If I say, oh, sister, amen, I got to go rebuke this brother or sister, they might get mad at me. I'm not going to do it. She's not going to respect me. More important, God's not going to honor me because I'm not obeying him, and I fear God most of all. So let's be clear about children. They are a blessing, but they aren't a fleshly feel-good toy. They're here for the Lord. They're the Lord's. Keep it that way, parents. Psalm 127, 3-5. Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath the quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Yeah, you got a quiver full of them? If you don't order them, train them, teach them, and beat them, you're going to have a mess. Your quiver is going to be an embarrassment before God. I want you all to think about this, and I didn't look up scripture verses for this because I got tons, but I just wanted to show this out to you. Samuel was placed in the temple as a child to be all about God. Make sure that you are rightly viewing your children as you raise them, that they are all about God, brothers and sisters. Unless, that's my walkie-talkie going off to the brother. Let me shut that off. Unless you want to have bratty, spoiled children. In this next verse, we see God's order as well. Ready? Colossians 3, 18 through 21. Wives, I love this. This shows the order of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as is fit to the Lord. So wives are to obey their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. We don't abuse our wives. We love our wives. And let them not be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I love that order there. Dad ruling, mom loving and obeying the father, them working together to have the children obeying the parents. It's pleasing to the Lord. If you don't do it, you're not pleasing to the Lord. You're not. And he's watching all things. Hebrews 4 tells us he sees everything. We know God is omnipresent. And here I want to speak to the moms especially. You coddle, if you pamper, versus stern discipline always. Are you really raising godly youngsters or fleshly little beings? Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. The rod, here it is, the rod, it's used for beating, and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself shall bring his mother shame. Ponder that one. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. You know what? It's a pleasure when you got orderly children. They don't drain you. You don't chase them around. They don't wear you out. It's a pleasure to have orderly children. I actually had that even when I was a pagan. My children would sit for hours if I told them, do not move. Here's a coloring book. Yeah, they knew what they would get if they didn't. And today, even though they're not believers, because I wasn't a believer, they actually have good order in their life in many areas. So that's a good thing to remember. You want to have sober, not foolish children. The Bible says, beat them with a rod. That's God talking. I just read that verse to you. The rod is for beating them, breaking their will. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. When you discipline your children, stern words, grab them with a good like shake, not shake them where you hurt them. Just grab them to get their attention and say, knock it off. And then you smack them on the hand, and then it's going to go to the butt and it's really going to hurt. You realize what you're doing? You're driving disobedience from them. This is loving parents versus coddling them and spoiling them. Again, I want to make a note, everybody listening, I don't believe in child abuse. I don't believe in physically harming them. We're talking stern physical punishment. Not in the face, on the hand, stern words, then on the bottom if they need it worse. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let them cry. It's got to hurt. And don't console them. Make them sit and say, you sit and think about it for a while. When you're ready to behave, now you can be part of the family again. Orderly over here. You sit over there for a while. There needs to be the timeout. Especially when they're really young. So you want to be a good witness in your home, men, mom, dads, sisters, and in the world, train, disciple, and yeah, beat them with a rod correctly, as the word says. Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Look at that, a child. The Bible says a child is known by his doings. Hey, if you got a bratty kid and you're in a body of believers, everybody knows about it. If you got a kid that's orderly and sits and says, dad says, sit, eat, don't play, everybody goes, wow, that's an orderly child. He's on his way to be obedient to God. He obeys his father. That's one of the great commands, Exodus 20. We'll read about that in a little while. Here's an important point I want to say. You don't reason with small children. Reason with small children. No. They're not going to reason with them. If they're not obeying your rule, you can't reason with them. You teach them with stern words, a stern look, a stern grasp, then you use corporal punishment. Genesis 18:19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The children are commanded. He will command his children to keep the way of the Lord. That's your job, parents, to do that. I think I'm going to stop this audio. It's gone real long. I'm going to go with a part one. We're going to start and up with a part two.